Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, alchemists, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Lafine identifies the monocle, Rao contemplates being on Demarius for a long time, Squash gets himself winter ready, and Zoltana pulls Lafine out of an awkward conversation. As the alchemists travel far and wide to create the potion to cure a dragon, the team tests their limits with the monocle and the ability to move objects across planes. Speaking with Emil in the book, they settle on Rao's Tabaxi friend to go instead. Will the monocle-less librarian be okay? Who is Emil's patron? And is the potion going to be enough? I guess you're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
Find yourself standing inside a building. The building is covered, the stone is a very, very pale grey, and it looked like it has been worked by many, many hands. There's a lot of tool marks in this still. This room is rough. There is a single window quite high up, and it is frosted over. The light coming through is that kind of sun-setting reddish colour. It's getting pretty late in the day now. As you look around, you can see that there is a singular exit. The door is slightly ajar, slightly open. Hasn't been open in a very long time, Squash would notice. Just nothing they've needed to use. As you step into this corridor, you can see that the stone gets smoother and smoother, as if more time has been spent on making this place look good. Where you were before is so little used, they clearly cared nothing for it. And as you reach the end of this corridor, you find another wooden door, which is closed.
Rao is very much acting funny. Like, suddenly being here is, like, very weird for him.
Yeah.
She's kind of looking around slowly and breathing and... Well, not looking around slowly, looking around rather quickly. Breathing fast and kind of getting into a panic a little bit.
Aimer grabs your hand and squeezes it really tightly. Even though you have like the gloves on from your like thermal gear, like she's squeezing your hand very tightly through that. Trempel is walking behind Joel and like he has a little bit of flames in his hand to keep himself warm because he didn't know.
Oh,
he didn't have anything else. And your tabaxi friend is like, they're not exactly shivering, but they have the natural warmth from their fur. So they're going to need something, but right now they're totally fine. You can also begin to hear what sounds like hail, frozen droplets hitting the roof above you.
I did tell the tabaxi friend to dress warm. They probably have blankets.
Okay. Then they have something warmer, at least.
Squoss is going to check the door real quick. Unlikely that it's trapped, but then again, they don't use this, so who knows?
Okay, you approach the door and your natural perception tells you that there is no extra like weight hidden anywhere, that the walls around it are smooth and they don't seem to have any tool markings on them. It looks like the lock is not even locked, like the door has one, but it's not being locked. The door, it's just a wooden door. There's nothing special and nothing trapped about it. Take an active perception though.
All right.
Let's see if you can figure out what's going on the other side before you step into this main manicness.
That would be a 32.
A 32.
Mm-hmm. That's another 19 on the dice.
Of course it is. You hear three or four dragonborn walking around on the other side. Like you can hear like the tails on the ground, those that allow them to like occasionally just flick down onto the ground and move things. You hear them pacing around. You hear the breathing of more than three though. You hear the quiet little pitter patter of feet that are a lot smaller. And they seem to be having a conversation that you just can't follow. It's in Dragonborn.
Okay. Squash just turns around and says like, the door's unlocked and safe. But there are people behind it, and young people too. I think it might be best if the Dragonborns go first.
Okay.
Young people?
Squash, we don't have all the young people or the children. They are not with the adults here. They are in a little town.
We're in the Moraruna.
Yeah, no. We aren't. This isn't in Moraruna. Well, this is more like the capital city.
Well, there's some...
You're hearing the little feet? They would be kobold.
Oh. I feel like Squaz has heard the word kobold once before.
Take a history check. It is difficult.
No, I'm just going to say Squaz doesn't know. All right. Do you still not want to go first?
I can go first if you want, Rel.
We both go. We can both go.
Good, because I didn't leave in the best circumstances either.
Hopefully they still respect you.
I hope so.
As long as you mention to them that we're here for Rarunwa and that he should be expecting us, I would imagine things should go smoothly.
They probably do know about us. At least you, Ral, they probably know about you. Okay. Okay, let's do this. And she squeezes Ral's hand like really tightly.
Yeah.
You can tell that she's also pretty nervous. Dragonborn Revival is just... Yeah, I didn't even know you had an afterlife. So this is going to be super weird for the people around. The door opens and you find yourselves in a rectangular room. It's pretty big. There are desks and tables around. There are candles and a roaring fire off in one corner. There are three elder tabaxi sitting by the fire in chairs, just talking, and they're clearly winding down at the end of the day. They also appear to be definitely magic users. There are runes that are glowing from underneath some of the thinner clothes.
Did you say
tabaxi?
And
you can also notice... I meant Dragonborn.
You did say Tabaxi.
I was like, wait a minute.
I was like, oh, they made there friends in Kino. Cool.
No, my bad. I'm so sorry. There are three Dragonborn sitting by the fire, winding down after a long day. They are clearly magic users of some sort. They have runes that are glowing, and some of them, Squash, you would now know, they aren't naturally forming runes. Some of them are clearly wizards, others to you scream warlock or sorcerer. Sitting next to them are also three kobolds. They are smaller creatures. They kind of look a little different, nothing you're used to. Squash, you may have actually seen one or two of these in passing in the Earth Dark, but you couldn't see particularly well down there. These might have been the shadow creatures down there at some point. And the six of them are talking by the fire as they hear as the door creaks open and the lot of you step out from a place they shouldn't. Directly ahead of you, there is a door to the outside, and you can tell this because of the snow that has kind of piled up on the inside a little. And you can see much clearly through the windows that are stained glass in places. You can see that there is a blizzard going on outside. They turn and look at you, and the tallest one with red scales looks across at you all. And for those of you who can understand Dragonborn, you hear, "Who the hell are you?"
I'm Emma, and this is Ral. We're here to fix Wurunwa.
And then she smiles at them.
Perhaps we could talk in common? Not everybody here speaks Dragonborn.
You see the sorcerer cast a spell. And they and their companions, you see their eyes flash a pale blue. And the one with the red scales in common now says,
"What are you all doing here? Why should we not kill you on sight?
You, tall one." And he points at Lafian.
"I?
Who are you? What are you doing here?"
"My name is Lafian. Me and my companions here are transporting a potion that is meant to cure Rwunwa of their ailments. We have spoken with him prior. Rwunwa knows of us."
"The Thorin sent us. He came to get us."
As you say that, the six of them look at each other, and the kind of the younger of the kobold, who you would notice is actually wearing like some symbols on one shoulder, and they have like kind of like the biggest of all the symbols, and they say,
"Ah, yes, a Thorin. He told us you would be coming. Rwunwa is quite sick. He suffered grave damage. Grave damage. You have the potion?"
"We do."
"You have someone who can help?
It is not
our art to heal."
And you see your tabaxi friend just wave at them. Like, he has no idea what's going on. Like, this common is still beyond him.
"And why so many? We were expecting three."
"You were expecting three because we were not told to come and cure him. We had to bring people to do that."
"So, who are your healers? I am expecting an elf, a dwarf, and a dragonborn."
And he looks confusedly between Aemon and Ra.
"You're supposed to be dead."
She shrugs.
"Surprise, bitches."
"Please tell me you don't actually say that. Please tell me you don't actually say that."
"No, of course I don't actually say that."
"Damn it!"
"If she's supposed to be dead, then so am I. We both left."
"Mm-hmm. So, the furry one, Tabaxi, I think."
And he nods.
"Mm-hmm. You are a healer.
Alchemist.
If it's not the three, she's supposed to be dead and not a healer. She's, no. And you."
And the kobold points at Squash.
"And
he's just with us. Thorin did not know to...
And he should not be here.
No, he should.
Take a persuasion roll.
Great.
Someone here needs to be the Karen and just demand to speak to the manager.
Can we have a Karen, please?
It's a six.
It's a six. Mm-mm.
I am told to have allowed three, the elf, the dwarf, and the dragonborn.
You were told by a Thorin who is not here.
And I will follow his instructions to the letter. I will allow your one healer.
And points at the tabaxi again.
The others. Emma, who is definitely not supposed to be here. And the little one, halfling, I believe.
I'm Squash.
Squash. Okay. I will lead the rest of you to Wuranwa.
No.
It's okay, Raoul. It's okay.
No, it's not.
More important that Vedrandra gets better than that we get to see him. It's okay, Raoul.
I don't think you need to see him for anything. I don't trust this. I'm not going to... No, we're not splitting up. We will just return back with our cure.
You see his eyes go a little bit wide, and he says,
I will personally guard you.
And they go over and lay a hand on Squash's shoulder.
Sorry, what?
You are not meant to be here. Outsiders are not meant to be here on Daemarius.
Okay.
But if the choice is between spending my time guarding you and not having a cure, the answer is obvious. Lead on. Oh, wait, no, I need to lead. Come on.
And he grips your shoulder very tightly and kind of like drags you to the front.
Good to see you are all wearing something warm.
And they snap their fingers and their armor, like the kind of chest that they were wearing, just changes into something a lot warmer. Basically, they have the same like glamoured thing.
Oh, it's very good armor, isn't it? I have the same thing. It's very nice.
They look back at you, look forward again, and just walk into the storm.
Good talk.
It's very it is very difficult to see. The storm is quite thick. The snow is coming down very, very heavily. And in the few minutes that it takes to cross like what feels like a courtyard, like you have snow maybe an inch tall on your shoulder. The kobold in front is kind of like pushing it away with magical force, and Aimer is just kind of like occasionally breathing on the snow.
Ivy, just one thing real quick, because it occurred to me. When we were in the teleportation chamber, I think Laffian would have dropped an anchor.
Anchor. Yeah, that's totally fine.
Just in case.
I'm going to say that Trempel is not here, because Trempel doesn't need to be here.
So he's staying back with the...
Yeah, Trempel is going to stay back with the other sorcerers, like they and with the wizard, and they can compare like notes. Spells and try and chat. Yeah, like the receptionist is trying to be what he is.
The dragon's breath spell is completely new concept to him, even though it's a normal spell.
Yeah, it's just a normal everyday spell, and he's trying to teach them like, you know, basic healing word or something, even though he himself doesn't know. Like they're trying to communicate via magic, and they'll see how well they do. With the snow coming in quite heavy, it's like Squash, at least you're going to find it a struggle, because, and so does the kobold that is next to you. And they lead you into another building. Walking into this, you can see that everything here is sculpted. There is not a single piece of sheer wall. Everything has a relief in it. Everything has a drawing, or it has a person, a dragonborn, a dragon. Some of them look very old. You can see some of the smaller races, like two gnomes, prominently. And you see two large dragonborn holding swords above them with huge eyes that are just seemingly to follow you wherever you move. They lead you through this chamber. They lead you to a doorway, and they put a hand against the wall, and you hear a click and the door opens. Squash, you would notice that there are what look like small dart holes just above that door. that although it looks like you could normally just open this, you would activate the trap without it being deactivated the way he had done. He leads you down. It gets warmer and warmer the further down you go, and he deactivates the armor. He changes it back to as it was before. Those of you who are wearing warm weather gear suddenly begin to get very hot and need to begin to strip it back. And it takes more than an hour before you are led through these chambers, through these difficult to remember pathways. You turn left, you turn right. It's kind of like a maze down here. Squash, you'd be very used to it. This is how the Earth Dark is. You find yourself in a big, big, big cavern. Roughly the same kind of really big shape as that of which you found the lost city of Dranethan. You can see off to the sides there are piles of gold and gems. Some have armor sitting on top of them, some skeletal remains. You also see that there are a couple of chairs and a table. But what you mostly see is Rurunwa, surrounded by candles of different colours, different sizes. And you see that there are kobolds and there are dragonborn that are tending. You can see that he has a very deep gash, roughly at chest height, between his two arms. You see that his wings are singed and torn and have holes in them. You can also see that as he coughs, you can see little splutters of blood just covering the treasure ahead of him. And the deep gash in his chest is very, very deep. This is what you find.
Ra will slowly start walking forward towards Rurunwa.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to come with you?
Raul nods and signals for, like, everyone to follow.
Mm-hmm. I'll follow.
Right there next to you, buddy.
As you step closer to Rurunwa, you can feel it every time he coughs now. It's not like a dragon can really look pale, but he does look exhausted, worn out. And you can see that the ground has been stained dark, dark colours. As you get closer, he opens one of his eyes and looks at you all, and you see a faint smile appear on his face.
Raw waves.
Aemon's reaction is basically that. He opens one of his eyes and stares at you, sees the wave, and you see the smile get even bigger. And he asks his attendants to step back, step away.
Good. You made it. I don't think I have much longer left.
What happened?
The fight with Kells was disastrous. She gravely injured myself and many of my children were slaughtered. We had to leave before I knew for sure if she was dead or risk losing everyone. There were people from Kino there. One not. They were fighting her. I do not know how this ended.
What do you think it's going to take for us to stop her?
I have faith that those children who stayed behind and the people of Kino, they will stop her. I hope. But that may be something I never see. I have to break my promise to you, Ral.
And he lifts one of his claws and puts it over the chest wound.
What is wrong?
My heart was hit with necromantic energy. And a part of it is dead. It is of no use to you now.
It's okay.
It is not.
We weren't going to take it anyways.
What of you, child? You have to live long enough to...
And he looks at the rest of you. And you just, much like when the three of you were linked, you know that you are, for the moment, linked with the dragon. You can hear him and Squash too. As he only speaks mentally to you, you'll be able to respond back the same way you did before.
You have to live long enough, my child, to become greater than the four people I see now.
I know. But, you know, we thought maybe you could finish the fight. We've brought something that could help you.
I can see that. If your healer is skilled, perhaps he can bring life back to this old, dead heart. But it will probably not be in time for you.
We found another way. If you are at least healed enough to help us so that you can live up to your promise, we learned of another. If you can help us with that much, at least I would give Rawl another chance.
There is another of my kin?
We learned that
there is... And you see him like lift his head a little.
There is another one living somewhere in the Earthdark.
Of course.
You know of whom we speak?
He shakes his head.
It was arrogance of mine to assume they had all died also. If your healer can help me regain even some of my strength, I will help you. I would rather fight at the end than waste away here.
I know how that is.
He looks at you and nods.
And Rawl takes the potion.
Mm-hmm.
But I have something else I would ask of you.
Of course.
You're sick, come with us. If I'm going to help everyone, I'm going to help everyone. They will survive this too.
My children must stay strong. If you take them from here, and the cure that Kesa promised you all, if she is unable to fulfill it, they must never return.
Why do you think they are weak? Do you not believe that I will fix them? You'd rather throw them away, but look what I have done. Look at what we have done for you.
You have surpassed all expectations. For many years, when Demarius was alive, she tried to fix all those that she had accidentally cursed. But she could not bear to see them suffer. You suffer unlike any other.
He shakes his head.
Some people do not want this. Demarius did not.
Demarius should not have had the choice. It's their choice. They are alive. They could fight if they want to. They could be just like me, help just as much.
You are right in this. And if anyone could help them, I believe it is going to be you. You have all of my faith, which is why I was going to give you my heart. And now I know of Caersa's plan, of her promise. I am even more willing to cut out my heart. I cannot apologize enough for my family.
Then let me fix it. These are people. They cannot just be held here to die.
If your healers have managed to find a way to help them, then take them.
The further away from that pit they are, the happier I will be. And then you can worry about how you and your people are going to be better. However the fuck you mean to be better. Stronger or whatever the fuck.
I can feel, Ral, that the Age of Dragons is coming to an end. The purpose of the Dragonborn and the kobold who have joined us here will soon be over. For this blissful eclipse is what Demarius had wanted to ensure, that Marnak and Kells would never help.
Marnak is helping us.
I understand this is the case.
He's back.
Athorin is a good judge of character.
Is he?
You see him smile a little.
For the most part. If Marnak is good, then he will be a great help.
So, deal, then. You let us take the sick. I stop this. You help us. We help you help us.
Yes. There is something else I must help you with. For you to become a sentinel, there is magic that must be performed. Dragon blood is very powerful. My children have helped me.
And he kind of like looks over to one of his attendants, and they are clearly exchanging some sort of mental communication. The Dragonborn, very tall, very thin, lanky, walks over and hands a small box over to Squash.
This you will need, or your warlock friend, whichever will cast the spell to bind you.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
I'll use it wisely.
I hope for all our sake that is so.
Squash is gonna sneak a peek in the chest.
There's 3 vials of dragon blood.
Yeah, he closes it. It's just confirming. Yeah.
Yeah, 3 vials?
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be 4?
You can see this too if you want to ask him about it.
We need one more. Oh, well, I don't know how many fucking things are in the thing.
No, no, I'm going to say you can see it, like squash my peek, sneak a peek, but obviously he's opening it, like you can just give it a side eye and see there are only three. It's simple enough.
That is the quantity needed. You will not be ingesting this. Oh. Either you will know how to use this squash, or your friend, she will.
Squash, like, opens his mouth as to say something, but doesn't find the words. And he just nods his head.
That's an FYI for scale. He's like, one of his teeth are about the size of you.
I know.
The smaller teeth are the size of you.
One of the smaller teeth, yeah.
I think we said some of the bigger ones are like two balances.
Yeah, like two balances tall.
He is an ancient dragon, huh?
And four Zoltanas wide.
Bringing it back.
Bam,
baby.
Bringing it back.
What happens to your people and all of their strength when all this is over?
There are some competent leaders amongst our children. When I am dead and gone, I believe they will know how to bring the Dragonborn into a new age with the rest of the world.
Laffian smiles at that.
Well, they're going to have a real fucking hard time.
He looks at Aemir and kind of gives her half a smile and looks back at Rao.
Perhaps we should have you tended to now. I can't imagine talking with a hole in your chest is pleasant.
It is exceptionally painful.
Rao turns around and gives the potion to his tabaxi friend and gives them the kind of, gives them a very exasperated sigh of like, oh my goodness, this whole situation, I just can't, and hands him the thing.
The tabaxi basically runs forward and you see your friend beginning to talk with Wuranwa. Wuranwa's voice is like pretty deep and it kind of rumbles everything around you, but they're so weak right now that it's just like barely an earth tremor. And they seem to be talking backwards and forwards, like very quickly and very fluently in your tabaxi friend's native tongue. It seems to be something that Wuranwa is comfortable with. Your tabaxi friend, after like 10 or 15 minutes chatting with, depending on how long you want to wait, just turns back and says, "This is going to take some time. You can tell Trempar to leave without me."
How long do you think?
If this is necrotic damage, as he suspects, it's going to take a few days at least.
We do have somewhere we're trying to go. But we don't know if Trimpel can get us there.
I don't know what to tell you.
Rao asks Wuranwa, "Do you know how to get to, how do you pronounce it?" Looking back at
Giata.
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 He looks at you and says,
"It is impenetrable to most magic. Teleportation there is not a possibility, I'm afraid."
Is there a vessel here we could take? Something fast? Time is of the essence.
We have some ships that you could take. It would take you 4 or 5 days.
If that's the best we can do, then that's what we have to do. We don't have much choice, it seems.
He kind of like very weakly tries to lift a wing, indicate the damage that he has.
"I would fly you if I could."
"Is there some way I can assist? You obviously are aware that there are abilities out there besides the standard magic healings."
"You could try, but this is very potent magics."
And he kind of like nods, and the tabaxi friend of Rao's takes a step to the side.
You honored your end of the deal and showed us that you are trustworthy, so I will do my best to help you if I can. Zoltana, would you like to try helping as well? Perhaps if you and I work together?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
All right. So what are the pair of you going to try and do?
I think it's cool theatrically, like if we place one hand on top of each other on the dragon and then try to like funnel both of our magic healing into him. I don't know. Like thematically and like cinematically, this just seems very cool to me, the idea of like trying to combine our healing into a more powerful
Uber healing.
Yeah. Psionics and divine power just
okay. Then talk me through whatever it is that you are using and we'll figure out how to combine them.
Since we just had a long rest and I also, since I got five more, I'm going to use like 20 points of lay on hands, I guess. Half my lay on hands is, I'll use.
And I've got my restore vigor because I'm assuming based on the fact that it's necrotic, Restore Vigor removes any reductions to ability scores, an effect remove that is affecting HP maximum or exhaustion level. So I'm assuming necrotic falls somewhere in that category.
Yeah, you definitely won't be able to instantly, you won't be able to get him back on his feet today. Like, that's just not a thing. But you will be able to, like, reduce the amount of time it takes to heal him up. Using Zoltana's hand.
Wait, I have an interesting question. Real quick before I commit to lay on hands. Sure. I wouldn't be able to revivify his heart since you said it was half dead, would I?
No, because it happened more than a minute ago.
Damn it. Okay, fair enough.
But that is baller thinking that I fucking love.
Thank you. I try to be innovative when I can.
That was baller and I highly approve of it. I'm so sorry that it's more than a minute ago. Because I definitely would have allowed that shit.
Revivify my heart, say that you love me again.
All right. Anyway, I'm spending the 7 psi points.
Why are you stopping them? This should just be the rest end of the podcast at this point.
We peaked. That's it. We're done. Okay. So using Zoltana's hand as like the kind of vessel to break through like the magical enchantments that just dragons have that make them resist a lot of the weird shit that happens in this world. That rage that flows through your hands, which is now pointing towards trying to heal this dragon, as Laffian puts his hand on top of yours, your magic changes slightly. And for the briefest moment, Laffian, you can see that magic. And not only can you see it, you can alter it in such a way that this red and black light kind of coalesces and aims towards the heart. You can see and feel the blockages guiding her magic through. As this heart is partially dead and broken, you clear some of those passages and blood flows back into very crucial parts of this heart once again. But that's only a very, very small portion of this really big-ass giant, like, dragon heart. You have helped.
But at what cost?
Not a whole lot.
7 side points, 35 lay on hands.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, fuck, I could do that again, like, a few times, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, like, for, like, scale, you definitely would be able to, like, cure this through. This needs a bit more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
He takes a step back and just kind of wipes a bead of sweat off his forehead.
Yeah. This is also difficult for Zoltana, so, like, sweat would definitely be on both of you right now. But you hear him breathe in a bit deeper than he did before and breathe out, and he's not coughing quite as much. The rasp in his voice is a little less.
Well, that did something.
We did a good job.
Laffian's, like, and looking at his hand now, and he's looking at you, Zoltana, like, that was very different.
Yeah.
We'll figure that stuff out later.
Cool. The kobold who is still standing impatiently next to Squash looks at Ruronwa and they appear to be exchanging messages. And he says,
I think it's time you all left now. Ruronwa needs his rest and to be healed.
Very well. We need a vessel. Fastest one you've got.
He looks back at Ruronwa with like a, huh? And just gets like a shoulder shrug in return.
Right. Okay. I can sort this out. Please, move on.
And he kind of grabs, again, Squash by the shoulder and, like, marches him forward.
Poor Squash.
Squash, are you okay Squash, holding on to the vials? Are you...
Yeah, I have a bag I can put it in. Don't worry.
All right.
And you can see that Squash is way more uncomfortable with the couple touching him than he is with, like, carrying around the case. It's like he's bending under the touch.
Sorry, can't help you with that one.
Just mind thrust him. Just, like, no. He just had an aneurysm.
No.
Just say something.
I'm sorry.
If this was Lindgren, that's a different story.
Yeah, no one cares about Lindgren. He leads you up and he takes you to a different building again. The storm around you seems to have increased and it's much harder now to wade through this snow. It's very deep in places, this kobold and Squash for sure. And even Zoltana are beginning to struggle with how high this snow is. He takes you to a building.
I want to make sure that Trimpal comes with us to wherever the boat is. I don't know what we're doing right now, but...
Okay, Trimpal yeah, it's simple enough.
Okay.
Yeah, he takes you to a building and he says,
so none of the boats will leave in this stormy condition. The waves are just simply too high. But they predict, our mages, that the weather will be clearer tomorrow. At the crack of dawn, you shall be able to leave on our fastest vessel.
Insight check.
Sure.
Good choice.
It's not difficult.
Don't trust this creepy little kobold.
23.
He is as pure and honest as the driven snow.
Bullshit.
It is.
Yellow snow, maybe. Liar.
No. He is not lying at all. Like, this is unsafe conditions for the boats to be out in.
Oh, no. I mean the fastest boat
part. Tomorrow morning is your best bet. Oh, no. Yeah. You're having the fastest boat.
Well, they don't have many boats.
Yeah, they don't have many boats. Like, they can have one boat and it be their fastest boat and also their slowest boat. No, he's not lying. You are getting the fastest boat.
Great. Where do we stay in the meantime? Is this just like a nice temporary?
You may stay here. I will send someone to wake you an hour before the boat leaves. Probably better you are not in the way of the more experienced sailors as they begin to prepare the ship.
Ruronwa agreed to give us your sick.
Yes. He has allowed them to travel with your rather interesting wizard back to a place named Falsum.
Falsum. Good pronunciation.
Should our wizard stay on the boat with us and we stop by there and then the wizard takes them from the boat?
The wizard can take them now if he wishes.
Oh. Okay. Give us a minute. Because I have to explain this to him.
Trimpal is brought in short order. This kobold is not leaving Squash's side, I'm afraid.
Hey, Trimpal.
Yeah.
He looks a little confused. There's fire in his hands as he's trying to stay warm. It's fine in this building, but out in the storm, it's pretty rough. So
you can go back now, and I think we're going to get where we need to go from here somehow.
You're going to be all right.
We're taking a boat.
Yeah, probably better than teleporting into an unteleportable place.
I've made the deal.
Poor way to lead a sentence, Roll. Keep going.
Cool.
All of the sick Can you take them back to the temple?
How many sick?
I don't know.
We're talking about a dozen that are confirmed with Dragon's Maw.
Yeah, two trips. I mean, I'll have to do some now. Some tomorrow.
That's fine. Please.
Yeah, where do you want them?
Somewhere calm, please. Just... All right. Raw will kind of... does he have a pen and paper? I don't know if I still have any pen paper stuff or anything.
Somebody
yeah,
does.
Yeah, like someone would have quills and pens and inks. Yeah, that's fine.
Raw's going to write a little note that just basically says, like, please stay calm as long as you survive. Like, it'll be okay. Like, just a little longer.
Yeah.
Basically.
As you're, like, kind of, like, beginning to talk me through how you survive this long, Aima turns to you and says, in Dragomon, she says, Ral, do you think I should go with them?
Actually, yes.
They don't speak any common, and there are a lot of strange new things there for them.
And you don't like the water?
No, I don't. And I... Do you remember how scared we were when we got to Discora, and it was just us two and we had nobody to help us? They're just little. Littler than we were.
Okay. Just be careful. Keep them calm. Take them wherever they need to go. We have friends. We can call in some favors if we need to find cold places or warm places. Falsum should be warm enough.
Yeah.
Cold place we and can I talk to the dwarfs.
Yeah. And we have people who, you know, owe me a favor. You know, certain people who tried to kill me. They could go find places. And at Caden and Rosita, they seem to be nice people. Perhaps they will help look after them.
Just keep them
I
calm.
I do want to go with you, Raoul. I do, but I don't. I really don't want to go back on the water.
I know. Just keep them alive and yourself, and stay away from Bokrim. Don't trust him with.
I don't.
Most things. You can use his money, though. That was funny.
She definitely laughs at that.
Yes. You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
She gives him like a really big hug. Yeah. It's one of those like hugs that it would be uncomfortably long for a normal hug, but this is not a normal hug.
Yeah. And Ra has trouble saying goodbye. So.
Yeah. She equally, you know that thing where you try to say goodbye, you just can't get the word out? Like, it's very much that.
Yeah.
She can't bring herself to say anything as she kind of walks over to Trempel and...
Yeah, we'll take a couple of steps like, back to reinforce that distance of like, yep, this is happening.
Yeah.
And then like turns
They're
around
trying.
And gives,
like, this
gives
is,
a wave.
This is uncomfortable for everyone involved in this. She's
trying
like,
not to bleed
anyone who
on
can
things.
See...
Not really
yeah,
working.
Yeah, Amy's trying not to cry on everything. This
so
is
sad.
Awful. Yeah, so sad. She wants to be so brave, but the water is so scary for her. She and Trempel make their way back, and as the door closes, you see her just look behind, just do a little tiny wave at Ral. Just the tiniest of waves.
Raw waves.
Okay. All right, so we commence night. Beds are vaguely uncomfortable. The kobold is still sitting next to Squash. They're not sleeping in a bed. They just pulled a chair up nearby.
You have made a new friend.
Friend is a very, you know, generous term for this person.
For my prison guard.
How much gold was in the place that we just came out of?
A lot, my friend. A lot.
Squash, I had to sit in prison for 50 years. You can deal with a single night.
I am offended. I am actually offended.
Did they have any huge diamonds?
Yes.
Okay.
What? Wait.
Yes, I said there were gems and gold there and armor and skeletal things.
Just curious.
Skeletal things. Are you about to ask for...
No, I won't ask. I'll put it in the stocking and come back later. It'll be fine.
Okay. They were down by Wurumwa, and you are not there anymore.
I know,
okay?
I'm not there
Nobody
anymore.
Thought to try and steal the gems and the gold. They were in a dragon's
hoard. That's not
true.
I was thinking about it the whole time, but I didn't because it wasn't smart. And also, Wurumwa, without us telling him a lot of things, could just see that we had things on us.
Okay.
And he knew about our business. He could just see... I didn't think that we were going to be able to get away with stealing.
He knows about what you're up to.
We're not going to steal from the dragon we're trying to heal. Goodness.
Yeah, that's
I did think about it, though. I did think about it the whole time.
Okay, Laffian, is there anything you want to do in Night Phase?
Reading more book.
Okay. As you read through the book, you learn that it's not easy to learn what your true name is. But often those who have a very deep soul connection with something else, it's like they are two halves of one whole. So their names are kind of linked and joined. So things like if you in your core feel like you are Laffian or that you are Steve, that becomes part of your true name. But the second part of your true name, if you are lucky to have a soulmate, even two or even three, depending on how you are, those names can be attached together. So, for example, it would be a sure bet that if you consider yourself to be Laffian, and in Kythea's native tongue, she considers herself to be Kythea, that those names could be linked and that would be part of your true name.
Hmm. Okay. He's going to spend his time meditating, pondering on that.
Okay.
Like, he's going to try, like, maybe, like, muttering to himself, saying, like, trying to, like, see what fits and see if something, like, resonates with him.
Yeah. I'm basically now going to give it to y'all that over the next couple of weeks or months or however long it takes to actually get to the end part of this game, I want you to kind of consider what your true names for your characters would be, just so that if, for example, you don't manage to break free of whatever is going on with this, that someone can get you out. So just have a thought about that. Just chuck that at me whenever you get like 5 minutes or 10 minutes to
Raw
think about
it. Raw the living. Very much alive.
Undying.
Raw still alive.
Raw the undying. Undying Aimer. Boom, nailed it. Okay, so yeah, you can ponder that. Raal, is there anything you want to do in this like night-ish phase? Oh, I forgot to have you roll for this morning.
Oh, boy.
Oops.
That's going to be a retcon.
It's important
half.
Because, like, you could, like,
knock down
legitimately
a dice.
Have gone down
First
another
morning
dice.
Was fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, wait,
that's
it's
good.
Not 20s I'm on. Shit. So hold on to that. I think it was 10s.
You are currently on a D10, my friend.
Yeah. Okay, so the first night was fine. It was 4.
Okay. That's great. Right. That's great. You have 4 more days left on a D10.
Thanks, Alzheimer, for that.
So another...
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll do this for the morning.
This morning's was 2. Actually,
all right.
Should I disadvantage? Because aim is gone.
Nope.
Still did fine.
As much
Zoltana,
as you're trying to get Raal dead...
So I can fly far,
you're
far,
fine.
Far away. Dear Zoltana, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away. All right.
Oh, boy. Oh,
it's an
boy.
Old throwback.
Okay, stop that. Zoltana, you kind of hear the mutterings of prayers in your ear, but you don't hear any voice come through particularly clearly on this particular day.
Okay. Well, that's really what I was going to do for my night, was going to be just see if I could help anyone out with the prayers and then sit up awkwardly for a couple hours until I fall asleep. Maybe I'll read that book. I'm going to read my speech book. Try to put me to sleep.
Okay, great. So I have written on your like specialized DM notes here.
Deities
like
for
how
dummies.
Often you read the book. No, not deity. No, stop it. I have here like after a certain amount of readings of this book, like I'll be able to give you like a bonus or a proficiency in like your speech craft. So it'll be easier for you to convert the masses as you go along.
Are you hearing voices in your head?
Okay. Yeah, always.
You might be a crazy person, or you might be a deity. Find out in this book.
Find out now.
Oh, I know which one crazy people are going to choose to think they are.
No, well, yeah. How do you think prophets came about? They hear the voice of God.
He's got you there. He's got you there. Okay, and then, so yes, Sultana, I am keeping check of this. Can you roll a d20 for me, please?
I think I can do that.
Nice. Y'all are the worst.
You're the worst. Shark bait, hoo-ah.
God, I love that movie.
17.
Okay. Because of your interaction and your sending of the good energies to Ninverna, because of your other followers feeling like they have a connection with you through the whispers, you have gained 17 new followers over the last few days.
Woo! I'm getting there. I'm getting close.
Close. Are you getting there? You're now at 575.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's pretty good.
Yep. That's over halfway. So.
Whoa. Halfway there.
Wow.
I'm not finishing this musical parody.
Sending Sultana a prayer.
Thank you. I was working on that. Oh.
I'm not doing this. Okay. Squash, let's continue on with your insanity. What are you looking at this evening?
Well,
bear in mind that there is a kobold just kind of sitting next to you paying some attention, but...
Yeah,
you
know. And that kobold can mind their own business.
They're also magic, though.
They're also magic, yeah.
All right.
They are magics.
I think then Squash, since, like, I think, if I'm gathering correctly, there are probably, like, good 4 hours before normal sleeping time, like...
Yeah, like let's say like it's past dinner time, but it's definitely like that hour before bedtime where you're like, oh, too early to go to bed, but it's too late to start anything except Squash doesn't care about that.
So I think Squash gets out the book and while he's just like quickly going through the first chapter just to like make sure that some of the stuff is sticking, he's like retracing some of the runes that he drew on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like wiping some of them off or redoing some of them. And he's like paying attention. Does the kobold seem interested or is he just like, Jesus, like, can I go?
He is watching you. And as you like begin to like redraw some of your runes, he's like,
I don't think you're doing that right.
What do you mean not doing it right?
You're using the wrong inks for a start. And secondly, you don't seem to be connecting with any sort of magic at all.
No, yeah, you're right. I'm just learning. I'm trying to figure this out.
How many days? Months? No.
I just started, like, yesterday.
Oh.
And he just kind of like leans back in his chair and just continues to watch you.
Ah. Squash lifts up his hand and points at one of the runes and is like, this one means soul, right?
It's more kind of... It's more alteration than soul, but it's easy to understand why... You got it wrong. They are very similar to one another.
No, that's not good enough. It's not good enough that it's similar. It needs to be simple enough. And Squash, like, starts adding a little bit something to it. It's just like, okay, with these, okay.
Why are you drawing on your arm? Why not use notepads like the rest of the wizards?
Paper always... It moves differently. It moves weirdly. I don't like it. It's hard to write on.
All right. You're still learning. Yeah, then that ink is fine for someone who is learning.
Okay. Squash, like, goes through the first chapter and just starts working his way towards the second chapter.
you get through kind of like the first chapter telling you about the runes, telling you like this part of the rune should mean this and this part of the rune means like to say something like this. This indicates a certain school of magic. The next chapter kind of goes into other terminology that you kind of need to learn before you start learning how to actually cast spells. And it covers things like the focuses. It explains why you need to have a verb or why you need to have hand movements, why there is sometimes costs for magic. And it goes in to explain about it, basically magic coming from a variety of different places, and that to cast magic basically breaks the laws of nature that have been set up here in Bikkron. So everything requires a drawing of energy from somewhere, but that energy has to be returned in a different way. And that's what the components for a spell is. And it talks about focuses and the different things. And it talks about having globes or having staves or wands. And it also talks about the weirdness that sorcerers don't necessarily have to have them. So it covers a lot about focus.
All right. Then I think Squash is going to focus on that chapter this turn.
Ba-dum-sh. Okay.
And I'm imagining, like, as Squash is reading, he's like tracing his fingers over the runes that he has all over himself and like dedicating like muscle memory to like remembering the shapes and the trails.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's definitely something Squash can do, is just continually repeat some of the basics that he's learned. And you definitely learn over time that if you draw something slightly wrong, you kind of get just that momentary weird buzz on your skin as you do it something slightly wrong. And you realize that if you make your brush strokes or your ink strokes slightly better and more refined and focused as you actually draw them, rather than just trying to do it from any sort of, you know, randomness or copying, they seem to not hurt as much as they did.
That's good. That's good.
All right. Is that you done for the evening?
No. No.
Oh, no.
Squash is on a path, and Squash needs all the time in the world. So Squash is going to grab another vial of God's Dream. And he kind of like holds it in one hand and then looks up at the kobold.
And none of my business. Just shrugs his shoulders.
You want to do a line, man?
I'm just going to go to sleep. Now.
Mm-hmm. Reading and taking God's Dream. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a definite like hesitation when he says the word God's Dream. Like, you know what this is?
Uh-huh. It's not wise to mix learning this, and he indicates the book, and God's Dream.
Why not?
Magic should not be rushed. I understand why youngsters to the craft might think it's better and more flashy to learn quickly, but understanding does not come from that. Takes time for magic.
Well, time is literally the only thing I don't have right now.
Hmm. Huh. Well, you are young and you will learn.
Squash just kind of shakes his head and opens the vial, takes the God Dream, and keeps focusing on the book until he drifts off.
As you begin to drift off and you're reading the book, after you finish focuses, you begin to see a list of very basic cantrips. The very first one that really catches your eye is because it's written in Demi's handwriting. And it goes into great depth about how to cast Firebolt. No, Control Flames. Control Flames is first. It's how to control flames. Of what it means to be something as fiery as she is, how to control the flames, how to connect with them on a deeper primal level. And this is a cantrip that you learn. It won't be great. And when you wake up, the rune that you have drawn subconsciously in your sleep burns. But it's not a fire. It's more like a really bad irritation, like a scratch. And everything under the ink that you've used turns red. But you do at least have one cantrip now. Control flames. However, whatever knowledge it is that you had of walking through the forests, of knowing what plant means what, magic comes at a cost. And especially when you mix it with drugs. I am going to remove your expertise in nature. You do now have a very unreliable control flames, though.
All right.
And I forgot to mention at the top of this episode that everybody leveled up. So
yeah,
I forgot I'd mentioned that to everybody off cam. I was going to mention it at the beginning of this episode, but I forgot. So let's put it here at the end. They leveled last night.
Which in 14. Context is why Roscon saves are very good. I can't have that.
Yeah, everybody else is, everyone is level 14, except Squash, who is now 15. So there we go. Oops. It's important because, like, you could, like, legitimately have gone down
first
another
warning
dice.
Was fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, wait,
that's
it's good. Not 20s I'm on. Shit. So hold on to that.
Let me just.
I think it was 10s.
My headphones have died.
Your headphones have died. I'm saying important things right now.
Me too.
You're
very
missing
important
it,
things.
B.
Also me. I'm also it. Saying important things.
You're missing it.
Showgirls is a cinematic classic. Let me tell you why.
Nobody talk. Everybody just move your mouths.
I put a diamond in the stalking plane. That's what I do for my night phase. Okay, and then I put that in the episode, and then... Okay, I will just copy, paste, do some snips around, and do a little storytelling of my own in my editing software. And I'll get a couple yes replies from V, and it's all set.
V, say yes. That.
Yes.
Nice. That'll make a good cut.
Yeah. No. My headphones died. They're like wireless and they died.
Yes.
That's one long ass blooper right there.
Can't wait to hear this.
You're going to wish you had.
Okay. Where were we at? Ral, what are you up to for this evening? So we had you do the roll, and that was fine for this morning.
Hello, and thank you for listening through another episode of The Lucky Die. This was a pretty big one, and I really, really hope everything goes well for all of us. Yeah, learning magic is probably not going to be easy, but hopefully it will work out. And yeah, the making a deal with a dragon, I've heard stories about that. Let's hope this one goes better than the many stories I've heard. But anyway, we want to thank Karim so much for being the voice of Ravandra. And yeah, we also want to thank Ed Hewitt, who is our most recent patron. And I want to motivate everybody to go check us out on social media. We have a Facebook, we have a Twitter, we have a Instagram, and we're posting stuff on there every day. There's something to check out. If you just want to keep in touch with us and keep up with what TLD is up to and what we're doing and all that good stuff, then please join us. Anyway, I was promised a bunch of bloopers this time, and I'm not throwing Neil under the bus. There are bloopers. But before that, stick around. There's a special message from Casey. So, yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Bye.
Hi, all. Casey here to talk to you about a cool Kickstarter, Exploit This. Exploit This is a documentary about the history of exploitation cinema in America, as told by the people who lived it. Eric Eichelberger and Kay Adam have spent the last 14 years interviewing filmmakers like Roger Corman, Rhonda Shear, Larry Cohen, and Herschel Gordon Lewis about their experiences in exploitation cinema, and have created from these interviews a full-length documentary on how low-budget cinema has shaped independent film as we know it today. If you love cult classics and the history of film and want to see this documentary get made, go to Kickstarter and type in Exploit This with an exclamation point, and go to exploitthisthemovie.com to see a film teaser.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.